blessed and highly favored. Mighty God, we come into your presence, even the birds. Move in each bench, touch each person individually. No group here now. Each person, including myself. Grant us the blessing that we come in need of, in Jesus' name. Do you ever find yourself thinking, there has to be more to life than this? Have you ever? Have you ever given your all to something? Given something your best shot? Give it your all, but not getting the results that you expect despite your efforts? Have you ever tried your best to raise your children? Bring them up the right way. Give them a good education. Put food on the table. Nice home. Take them to church. Clean clothes. Dress them up. Stockings and pretty shoes for the girls and suits for the boys. Make sure that they socialize on Saturday nights with their friends at church, not at Sovereign. With them pants down them waist. Play football, video games, play basketball, and yet they go astray. Have you ever given your best to a relationship? Give your best to this man, your best to this woman. Breakfast in bed, you fix him up, you fix her up. Take them from nowhere with nothing to somewhere with something. Then you end up with nothing, not even them. Have you ever given your all to your books? Study hard. Get a good education. Graduate from university. But can't get a job. No job. After all that hard work, sleepless nights, not to mention the sacrifice. Sacrifice of time, sacrifice of money, student loan, sacrifice of your social life, no job. And you can't just sit there, you have to turn your hand, make fashion. If you can't find a job, you have to make one. Have you ever found yourself in that position? Have you ever spent all your cash to buy your dream house with your spouse? Who promised to pay the mortgage? However, things go bad in the marriage. It falls apart only for you to find out that the mortgage payments are in arrears. And you face the threat of leaving, losing your house. Or you even lost it and have to start all over again. Do you know anyone who had paid keen attention to their health, as far as you know? Exercise, very health conscious, vegetarian, don't smoke, and yet one day end up with cancer. Have you ever been in search of abundant life? Something more? Have you really ever said there has to be more to life than this? What constitutes abundant life? Is it lots of money? You know, recently there was a web post on the top Caribbean celebrities, the richest ones. You know, we have the Buju Banton, the Bounty Killer with 3 million, Maxi Priest 4.6 million, Damian Marley 6 million. This is US. Sean Kingston 7 million, Ziggy Marley 10 million, Jimmy Cliff 18 million, Shaggy 22 million, Bob Marley, if he were alive, 130 million. That's his worth, what his net worth would be. And if we broaden the spectrum from just artists, we could involve Sir Usain St. Leo Bolt, 20 million worth, US. And Michael Leachin, worth 1 billion, B-I-L. Does their net worth guarantee abundant life? Sure, I could do with some cash. I mean, if I get 2 million, I don't even want 3, and they start at 3. If I get 2 million US right now, you know, I could open my own state-of-the-art medical center, buy a supermarket, get 2 houses in Mona to rent, you know, sort out retirement. I'm not greedy, just 2 million. But will that guarantee me abundant life? What about hype? You know, the young people like hype. Living it up. Enough girl, get in a bundle. Enough kids. Some celebrities have lots of kids. I learned that some of them have even 20 children. One man. Enough kids, enough abundance of children. Does that guarantee them abundant life? What about Michael Jackson? Abundance of things, material possessions, yet with an early, too early, gone too soon death. What about Whitney Houston? Abundance of things, not to mention her voice. Does having such a good voice guarantee abundant life? Does having good health, physical health, tip-top shape, healthy body, guarantee abundant life? Now, am I saying that having abundance of things, possessions, or having good physical health is not good? Am I saying that? What does the Bible have to say about this? 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." Let's stop there. Ellen G. White says in Education, "Higher than the highest human thoughts can reach are God's ideal for his children." And what does Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 has to say about this? The King James Version says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And the NIV Version says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 13. What do they have to say? "And the Lord shall" what? Make what? No, you're shy for it? Say it, man. "And the Lord shall make you" the what? Ishim? "The head and not the tail. And thou shalt be" where? "Above only, and thou shalt not be beneath." Stop there. So God wants us to have the best. Be the head. Be comfortable. Prosperous. But do we have to have lots of material things in order to have abundant life? Well, let me ask you another. Can anyone have abundant life without lots of material things? Or can I have abundant life even if I have a medical condition? I have hypertension, diabetes, if I have arthritis, cancer? Can I still have abundant life? Let's look at Job. He's a good example of the haves and the have-nots, all in one. Job chapter 1 started from, we know the story. And the Lord said unto Satan, that was in verse 7, whence comest thou? Satan answered and said, from going to and fro in the earth, walking the bench, them, walking up and down in it. He's not running. Satan now run him a walk for study you. Study me. He's not running. This is no fly by night thing. I'm gonna watch you. So I'm gonna tackle she so. Tackle him so. Okay, I know that we're not gonna tackle you with that, but I wouldn't tackle she because that don't trouble she. So I will tackle she with that. I will tackle you. Yeah. God said, hast thou considered my servant Job, an upright and perfect man? You know, Satan said, you know, you always have an argument, you know. Does Job serve God for naught? There was supposed to hedge of protection around him and about his household. So if you mean you fix him up so nice, he must serve him, feel good. But if you put your hand on his possession and take them from him, he will curse you to your face. God permitted, and you know the story. This Job, who was the man who had 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke oxen, 500 she asses, a very great household. He was the greatest man of the East. Lost everything. She ashes gone, oxen gone, camel gone, sheep gone, even children gone. And I'm the only one who survived to tell thee. Gone. Everything he worked all these years for. Gone. As if that wasn't enough. You know, see, Job could have said, okay, I lose my things, but I still have health. You know, if you have health, you have wealth. He could have said that. As long as I'm alive, there's hope. And I have health, I could walk back all them things there. I could make back more children. There's no limit to when a man can make back children. I could do that. He could have said that. He could have said that. He didn't. I'll show you that. Job still had his health. Satan decided, no, you know, I'm not easing up enough. He went back to Jesus. No, he got serious. No, he had a tackle. Went back to Jesus now. And he says, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath would he give for his life. But put forth your hand and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse you to your face. God allowed him. He said, touch him to save his life. And we know what happened. Sores and boils came all over him, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Have you ever had a boil on your bottom? You can't sit down, but at least you could sit on one side and ease off the other side. Job had all over. He couldn't sit on any particular side. Boils. He couldn't even put on clothes, I think. I don't know what he did, but he couldn't even, you know, he would be itching. This is itching, all sorts of things. He had to scrape off himself, trying to scrape. Oh gosh, this thing is itching me. He had to sit down in ashes. Can you imagine having these boils? Can you imagine? And Job had them all over. Even his wife. You know, she's the one who had to clean those sores, dress them, put on the little tincture, wash the clothes, smell them. Them don't smell good. Hang them up, put them on back, or try him to sap up the oozing. And when he said him uncomfortable this side, try lean him over that side. She must have felt so sorry for him. This is my husband who worked so hard for all these things, all these years, provide for his family and teach him children, you know. And this happened to him. You know, by the time he's dying, because Lord, I don't want him to be in so much suffering. I mean, he shouldn't suffer so much. I love him too much to let him suffer. She said to him, why not just curse God and die? Yet, Job remained steadfast. Despite the loss of things, threat to his life, he was steadfast. What enabled him to do this? He must have first made a conscious decision or chosen, made a choice to follow Jesus. In spite of things or in spite of physical health. which is one of the first steps in obtaining abundant life, the choice to follow Jesus. He must have taken some time to get to know God, to know the abundant life. And he must have known, even though these words were not written as yet, he must have known the words of Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. He must have had the concept. What does it say? Luke 12, 15. "And he saith unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." He must have known this. You know, my grandmother always used to say, I don't know if you ever heard this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I don't know. Anybody, your grandmother ever said that to you? I didn't even know it was a text in the Bible until in my adult life I saw that it was taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. As a matter of fact, I can tell you a story about a man who had lots of possession but no contentment. He was in search of contentment, in search of abundant life. In his investigations, he learned of a man who was very contented, and he could try to learn some things from him, a thing or two. So he went on a journey to find him. When he found him, to his surprise, the man didn't even have a shirt. So this man don't have a shirt, and yet him so contented. So what him have that I don't have? Job must have known the text in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Matthew, let's go to 6. Let's go back to chapter 6 first. Verse 19. What does it say? "Lay not up for yourselves," what? "Treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself," what? "Treasures" where? "In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where the thieves do not break through and steal, and have no thief there." You could leave your door open, fly from Jerusalem, you could go over to Italy, flap your wings, eat up the fruits, the tree of life, and come back and not, no thief is there. Your treasures are there, you're safe. He knew, verse 21, what does it say? "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He must have known also the good shepherd. When we speak about the good shepherd, in John chapter 10 and verse 10, even though there's no shepherd in that verse, he must have known, even though not yet written. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, that was your scripture reading, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that thou mayest have life and have it more abundantly." Now, if you go back up into this chapter, you know, it starts off by talking about the good shepherd, you know, and that the good shepherd would take care of his sheep. He won't leave his sheep astray. If trouble comes and a wolf comes, he wouldn't run away and leave them. He would take care of them, even when bad things happen. And that leads in to this verse. But he must have known, because he said, "My sheep hear my voice." He must have also known who to serve. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he hates the one and loves the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." In other words, you cannot serve God and mammon. And some versions will say you cannot serve God and money. You see, nothing is wrong with having material things, but you have to know where your priorities lie. They cannot be so, your house can't be so important to you that it takes the place of God. You can't feel so you're rich, so you don't need Jesus again. You know, There was a man who joined a church, a certain church. And when he went into that church, he was introduced, you know, that the right hand of fellowship. And he was introduced, you know, one of the first statements that would say, you know, we are blessed to have this man in this church. This is a prominent man, businessman with lots of money, has lots to offer. We are very blessed. The man came up because it was his own, he was the only one who was baptized at that time. After the right hand of fellowship, he gave a rebuttal of thanks. And he said, you know, I want to tell you something. The church is not blessed to have me. I am blessed to have the church. He's blessed to have Jesus. That's why it matters. You know, even if you didn't have abundance of things, this is what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about yourself, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor about your body, what to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather in barns. There's nobody at home cooking for the birds, you know. They're in there, they flap their wings, they give thanks to God, they fly through the breeze and the stratosphere and the hemispheres, they're there. Nobody at home cooking for them, but they stop, they get a banana, piece of pick two popo, you know, go to the orange tree, maybe try to get some plums, some cherries. God provides for them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you not more valuable than they? Why worry? Can it add a cubit unto your statue? Further down in that chapter, further down in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6, the crux of the matter comes in. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things? The things that we were worrying about earlier in the chapter. Put the cart before the horse, or the horse before the cart. Put the things right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The abundant life, therefore, does not consist of things. Things. You know, in California, there are lots of fires. And one year, you know, every year, during the summertime, during the year, it's a very dry place. And one year, this family lost a lot of their land. They lost, they got fired out. But they still had their home, just that they had fires, or elsewhere on the property. So they decided that they will make a strategic plan, a logistic plan. How do I make sure that next year when it happens, that we're not going to lose, suppose it happens and a bigger fire happens, we don't want to lose all those things. So we'll make a list. We'll grab some clothes, throw out a bed. Throw out a sofa, make sure you have some clothes and some underwear and some things. The fire did come the next year. And all that they escaped with was their clothes on their back and the list. Nothing on the list was kept, because they didn't have time. If you turn back to get that fire, blaze you up, smoke you out. So they had to take life, run. All the things that we've worked for years can be easily and without warning snapped away from us. You have to know where your focus is. An abundant life is not dependent on what earth has to offer, the physical, the things, but on what heaven has to offer. It's a life that is connected to Jesus, a meaningful life. It is more than just material things and physical well-being. It is the life that takes care of the hereafter. It is the life that propels you forward to eternal life, a life connected with Christ. He says in John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing. But with me, all things are possible. So Job must have been connected to the source. Have you ever seen a vine of passion fruit? And one of the branches also drop off? What happened to it? Withers. have to stay connected. Because Job was so connected to the source, that is why when he lost his things, he still could have knelt down to the ground and worshiped. And we have record of it. When he lost his material things, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, he even said when his body came under attack, now you know, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." Job chapter 19 also sums up his response. Job 19 verse 26. And he said, that is when he said, hear this now. "Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, who will I see? I will see God." He had hope, blessed hope. "I am blessed and highly," he was blessed and highly favored. Things are good. You could have things, but it must not be the end all and the be all of your existence. He had an abundant life. A life which was super added to make a happy life. You know, super. You know, you have regular glass and super gas. Regular and super. And I think they even have an above 90, have a 90. But I think they have 92 or 99 or something like that now in the gas. But it's not available out here. We're talking about regular versus super. It's not just a mere existence when you have abundance life. We have super added blessings from God that we need to take us through this life journey to be blessed and happy despite things. The life that has peace and joy which the world did not give you and the world can't take away. That's the abundance life. Now, is abundant life forced on us? Can we refuse it? Do you say, okay, you see now when you leave here today, you better just choose it, you know, because or you just, it is yours. If you don't take it now, you know, get it again. What does the Bible have to say about that? Do we have to, is it forced on us? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and do what? Sup with him and he with me." You know, he's not going to push your door. He's not going to push it down. He's not going to break off the hinges and pick your lock. Not going to do that. It's free will. And in our memory verse, what does it say? Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, our memory verse. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and what? And death." Watch it now. "Blessing and what? Cursing." So don't mumble it up, you know. Get it clear. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. But then what does he say? "Therefore, if you have sense, what do you choose? Choose life. That both thou and thy seed may live." Persons who have abundant life have a Savior who laid down his life for them. A Jesus who loved them so much that John 3:16 says, "For God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believeth," the greatest simplicity, or whosoever choose to believe. It's not forced on you. Whosoever means whosoever. If I say I'm throwing up money, whosoever want it, catch it. Whosoever should not perish the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, eternal life, the greatest possession. So abundant life is not forced on us. As a matter of fact, it's a choice. And when we're going through life, The victory has already been won, you know. So we're not operating to get the victory. We are operating from the victory. Victory win already. This is him here. He laid down his life. Victory win. We are operating from the victory. But it comes back to whosoever. Whosoever believe it. It's a choice. We are all given the power of choice. From creation until now, we have a free choice. Just as choosing to be connected with God is a choice. But we have the right to choose. We can choose to be connected with God, choose about our eternal life. And that choice goes to all facets of our life, you know. It's not just to be, what about health? Can we choose to have optimal health? What is optimal health? Is it a life without any disease at all? If you have hypertension, you can't have optimal health. If you have diabetes, if you have cancer, if you have arthritis, you can't have optimal health. You can, of course, have optimal health, because what does the WHO definition of health says? Health is the balance between, or the presence of, physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely the absence of disease. It's a balance. Physical, mental, social well-being, not just the absence of disease. So you can have health with a cancer, you can have health with hypertension, you can have optimal health, not just the absence of disease. This definition by WHO, is it complete? Do you think that there is anybody else who had this at the core of their mission as well? Yes, Jesus. He had our health at the core of his mission. Not health in the narrowest sense, but in the fullest possible sense. That is in the abundant life spoken of in the scripture. So WHO definition deals with physical health. Physical health. Optimum health, having the best, doing the best with what your state of health is right now. Your optimum health. And it deals with mental, with the mind, social, dealing with interactions and stuff. But when Jesus was here on earth, he also looked after all those three facets of health. Ellen G. White reminds us that during his ministry, Jesus devoted more time to healing the sick than to preaching. His miracles testified to the truth of his word, that he came not to destroy, but to save. We know of countless examples of where he healed the sick in the Bible. The woman with the issue of blood. The leper at Galilee. The blind man approaching Jericho. Blind Bartimaeus. He was interested in physical health. He's also interested in mental, emotional health. He cast out demons. Mental health. Man mute and oppressed with a demon. Cast out in Matthew. Blind and deaf demonic. Cast out. Mary Magdalene with evil spirits. Cast out. He was interested in the mental health. Emotional health. He's interested in when we are sad. He's interested in things that bother us. When he went to Mary and Magdalene when Lazarus was dead, what did he do? He wept. He felt what they were feeling. He identified with them. When somebody weep with you, you just put back your head and lean on everything. Emotional health. He also is interested in our social health. Look at what happened now. There are many people who were outcast in the Bible. Woman accused with adultery. Zacchaeus, outcast. The Samaritan woman at the well. He interacted with them, made them feel included, granted them eternal life. He's interested in social health. He don't make you feel like an outcast. None of us are stepchildren, godchildren, grandchildren. We are all children of Jesus. There are no stepchild in here. You know, the WHO definition, though, omits one aspect of health. And what's that? Spiritual health. So, you know, this is now, you know, I talk about regular gas and super. So, you see, them WHO definition is the regular, you know. Now, we're going to move to super. You add physical, mental, social, spiritual. Supercharge. Adding this dimension brings in the abundant life. The spiritual dimension of health undergirds all the other dimensions of health. That is why John, 3 John chapter 2 could have said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health." How? Even as thy what? So is, you see the link? Even as thy soul prospereth. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 says, "For in him I live and move and have my being." And you see them bringing up some aspects of health here. "In him I live and move and have my being." Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, verse 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or desire, to him give us the power, according to the power that worketh in us." Now, look at me now. Let me go back to this text. I want to stop and just highlight something. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly." So that not enough? Abundantly. Isn't that enough? That is infinity. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power. No, you hear that now? We're tapping in. The power that worketh in us. When Jesus heals, you see, he don't just deal with physical, emotional, mental, social. He gives you a kind of wholeness. Wholeness. He gives you the abundant life. He gives you a wholeness of health. He doesn't just heal one thing. Let's read the story in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 to 8. "And Jesus entered into the ship, and this man was sick. His friends brought him. He had palsy. And verse 2 says, he was lying in bed. And Jesus, seeing him and saw their faith, said unto the sick man of palsy, Son of man, be of good cheer." What did he say to him? No, he didn't say that. He said, "Get up and walk." But he said, "Thy sins are what? Forgiven." Now the others, the Jews and the holy people, them, they were there watching Jesus, you know, blaspheming. "This man is a blasphemous man. This man commenting about sins forgiven." Jesus know the thoughts, you know, so he said to them, "Wherefore think ye evil in thy heart?" And he says in verse 5 now, and he knows how to answer it, you know. "For is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? But," next verse, "but that ye may know," look at me now, "that the Son of Man had" what? "The power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the sick man, you know, I'm just coming back to other issues now, you know. I'm dealing with the core. We'll come back to other things now. Said him, "Man, arise. Take up thy bed and go to thine house." Just like that. Arise. Yes, he heals and he gives you complete whole healing, including the spiritual forgiveness. He gives you peace of mind. Every day we make choices, because in order for that man to get healing, he had to choose to be healed. And he had to have the faith. Every day we make choices. Some have little consequence. You know, what color clothes should I wear today? A blue shirt, a green shirt, a white shirt? But there are some choices that have loads of consequence. Most of them. Our health is related to choices. We can determine whether we have optimal health, whether we maintain health, whether we become ill. If we have an illness, if we have optimal health, or whether we can get complete healing. It's a choice in some ways. I'll show you how. Remember the story of the man who Jesus healed at the pool of Bethesda? John chapter 5, verse 1 to 19. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed. This one man was sick. Jesus saw him. He was sick for how long? John chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 5, verse 1. He was sick for 38 years. In the next verse. Jesus knew that he'd been sick for a long time. He asked him, would thou get well? The man said, you know, Jesus, I can't stir. You know when somebody says, listen, I can't stir, but I'm so sick, I can't stir. Me say, I can't move. Sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool. When the water bubbles up, someone always gets in there ahead of me. Jesus turned to him and said, stand up. Pick up your mat and walk. Pick it up. Did this man have a choice in the matter? Do you think he could have decided, no, Jesus, me not obeying you, I mean, I know what kind of thing you're coming with? I mean, did he say, oh, Jesus, I just want somebody to draw me up? As a matter of fact, I don't even want that. He could have said, Master, I have not walked for 38 years. How come thou tellest me now to stand up? I just want to get in the pool. Get somebody to lift me up and throw me in the pool. That is what I ask you for. You know, we could limit God, you know. God, why give him an abundance and the man just want to go in a pool? He could have said that. We confine God to this. I just want this and this and this, this way. He could have said, you know, could have become intellectual, you know, and said, Master, let me keenly debate with you. Jesus, we have to iron out some logistics here, you know. I don't know how I will get up. I have to iron this out. Get the logistics right. Some of us are too intellectual for our own good. We forget what is said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. It says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The man at the pool could have said, okay, Jesus, give me some crutches. But no. This lame man knew the balm in Gilead. He knew the mighty fortress, the Jehovah Jireh, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He knew the rose of Sharon, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He knew the good shepherd, the rock of ages, the best friend to have. He knew him. He knew the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the way, the truth, and the life, the name above all names, the I am that I am. He knew the great physician. He knew the sympathizing Jesus. He knew the man. And he chose to obey him. Choice. That's what we're talking about. No matter how many miracles Jesus wants to do for us today in our lives, whether it be helping us to achieve optimal health, helping us to get complete wellness from some disease, whatever it is, there are choices we have to make in day by day choices to help to achieve and maintain this optimal health. Choice. Day by day, moment by moment, choices. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Choice. All our choices have consequence. Don't fool with fat. If we have fat, if you're slim, don't fool it. We have control over the choices we make, but we do not have control over the consequences. That's why we have to make good choice. Because when you choose a thing and you open up a can of worms up with a blessing or curse, and then when the worms have come out, you can't even stop them. Because when you had control was the choice, you put your chance gone. You have to come, Jesus, help me. The lucky thing is merciful. But for the mercies of God, we are not consumed. We have to have choice. Make choice every day. Decide, okay, do I want to have a fatty diet? Do I want to have lots of sugar in my diet? Do I want to not exercise? We know that exercise, eating fat, lack of exercise, these things can contribute to obesity, diabetes, heart disease, even some cancers. We have control, even the choice. We have control to choose our lifestyle. Our lives are created by the choices we make. Every day we make countless of choices. From the minute you wake up, let me go before you wake up. When you wake up, that's not a choice to an extent, you know. That's a blessing. You lie down and you're sleeping. You know, I don't need the glasses to sleep. From the minute you turn and you open your eyes, that's a blessing. You see, after that, everything is choice. Choice. Okay. What time would I get out of bed? I wake up, you know. When am I going to get out of the bed? Would I choose to have morning devotion? Would I choose to pray? No, these things are choices that affect health. Would I choose to drink some water, like one or two glasses of water when I get up in the morning on waking, and then another six glasses throughout the day? Should I choose to exercise? Have at least 30 minutes of exercise, at least 5 days a week, get up today, exercise? And if so, should I exercise in sunlight or in shade? Which exercise should I do? Choice! Should I have breakfast? What should I eat for breakfast? Or should I not have breakfast? You know, sometimes we evade, should I have breakfast, and you don't answer the question and say, move on to something else. But that's a choice. That's a choice. Evading an issue is a choice. Should I have cereal, fruits or nuts, knowing these are good to me and could add 10 years to my life? Should I have a salad with my meal? Should I have a fruit for a snack instead of having chocolates and candies and other sweet things? Should I avoid having highly processed snacks? Should I sweeten my tea? Don't sweeten it. I know that sugar not so good, and lately now they're talking everything about sugar and the relationship between a high consumption of sugar in the diet and cancer. Should I eat it? Should I put sugar in my tea? Should I try to have a plant-based diet? Should I take the medications that my doctor has prescribed for me for a particular illness? Should I forgive others? That affects health. Some of us too bitter inside. It's so bitter to bubble up and cause cancer. Get rid of it. Forgive. Should I take time for recreation and relaxation? All these affect our health, but these are all choices. Should I try to go to bed early? Should I give thanks? That affects your health. Give thanks. Should I brush my teeth before I go to bed, and then should I floss? Dental flossing, we know that this helps to prevent heart disease. Dental flossing, should I do that? Should I choose to be stressed? Because stress is a response. Stress is not the situation. It's a response to the situation. Choice, you choose to be stressed. All these are choices. And we have the right to choose. We have the right of choice. One author said, next to the bestowal of life itself. Life. You get up in the morning, you could breathe. Next to that, the bestowal of life. The right to direct that life that God has given us is God's greatest gift to man. Within it, we have all these choices to make as we go through the day. There's a responsibility. Your choice, you must have take responsibility for your action. There's the responsibility of choice. We are responsible for the choices we make. Don't blame somebody else. Oh, Eve. No, but Adam, the serpent told me. And then Adam said, Eve, tell me. Take responsibility for your choices. When making choices, get information. Get information about your choice. This year, health ministry is trying to equip you with skills. If you don't know that something could benefit you and why it could benefit you, you won't bother to do it. It can't affect you. We know that there are stages of learning. Cognitive, getting you some knowledge. Why should I, what is a plant-based diet? Benefits of exercise, benefits of sunlight. You know, sunlight helps to reduce the incident, or can help to prevent or push back or whatever, even things like breast cancer. Exercising in sunlight or getting some sunlight. Most of us don't get sunlight. You leave out early, go in the office, stay in the office all day, come out when it is dark. I have a friend who is a nurse who had breast cancer. When she went to the United States to get her treatment, not in an Adventist center, you know, one of the first things they tested was her vitamin D level. Vitamin D is one of the things that sunlight helps to activate in our system. And when they did, they said to her, they came back and said, you know, so and so, your blood, your vitamin D level is low. And this is one of the things that contributed to your cancer. Vitamin D, very important. Sunlight, very important. So you have to know these things. Then we know there's a cognitive aspect of learning and the affective aspect of learning. What do you believe? You know, some people believe that I could eat anything, and nothing will happen to me. See that person over there, sir? You talk to them. Me could eat anything. I don't have to exercise. I'll be okay. Some people feel that they can put anything in my mouth and I'm okay. Because somehow in their head they feel like things would happen to them, but them have an extra blessing. Them could eat it, and nothing would ever happen to them. So we have to affect your affect. Let you know that if you do this, you could end up with that. And that must spare nobody. Because the same body. Thus. There's an essential link. We must understand choices. You know, we have also the aspect of knowledge. We're giving you knowledge. But knowledge is just to know, but to do. This year we did we launched the 8 weeks to wellness program. And I want you to get involved. I won't go through it now again because we did it already. But get involved. Choose what you want to do. Dr. Marshall Tullery will be going through goal setting with us when we come back from MM14 in April. Come in. Make decisions in your head and do stuff. Exercise classes is here on Saturday nights. Health club will resume in April on the 4th Sunday, where we'll teach cooking classes, giving you the skills so that you can know how to do the vegetarian. Because if you don't know what to eat, you'll just draw for the chicken. You have to plan the thing. Be a part of the activities. Choose what you want to be a part of. Be courageous. It takes choice. It's when you're going to be, when you're going to make a choice, innit? You have to be determined and courageous, innit? It takes courage to say no, I'm not eating it. It takes courage to say yes, I want this. Make the right choice. Make choices based on principles, not on emotions. Don't come and exercise because everybody exercises and you like it. Make choices because you're going to exercise because it is good for you. It can help you to get down your body weight, and it can help you to keep away diabetes and hypertension and heart disease and cancer. Make informed choices, not based on emotion, because when things go rough, like they will do, life is not going to be without tough times. There are going to be tough times. You have to base your decision to continue on principle. Keep focused. Keep your goal. We don't have goal setting program. Remain positive. Have your priorities right. Remain focused. Don't be disturbed by your past. Don't let your past deter you. Remind yourself to be strong and determined and keep focused. Think about your future. What do you want next 10 years? You want to keep down your weight. You want to do this. And it's not just what you want to do is to adapt a healthy lifestyle. We want you to have the healthy lifestyle, because the lifestyle is a better focus to drive you than the results. Eventually, if you keep with the thing, the results will follow. Make a choice. Start by choosing today. Choose to do something or some action that will help your health, help your eternal life. I will walk earlier. I will get up early and I walk. I'll worship. I'll have divine meditation. I'll reduce my salt intake, reduce my sugar intake. I will decrease the amount of processed food I eat. Eat more yams and bananas and pumpkins. Eat less meat. Just start. What if I fail? Just start again. We have a work in progress. Don't let the fear of failure stop you from starting. Remember that every day is a new day. Right now is your new day. It's not tomorrow. Don't wait till Sunday. You can make a choice in your bench right now. Human beings are the only one whose attitude can help to change or guide or change their life with just making the right choice. Don't have to wait until tomorrow. You could choose to follow Jesus today. Now, you can choose that. Okay, I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to cut out this, cut out the sugar, do this. Make the choice. Don't be afraid of the past. Remember, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to be apt to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press towards the mark of the price of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Press, that's effort. You're not going down the stream now like a fish going down water, you know. Effort. Exercise your power of choice and get up and exercise. Forget what happened yesterday. Corinthians chapter 15, chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What are past? All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Isaiah 43, 19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and you shall know it. It will spring forth into your life. You won't even know it's happening. I will do a new thing. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in your deserted life. Give you water that you never thirst again. Lamentations 3:22 says, it is of the mercies of God that we are not consumed, because his compassions faileth not. His compassions are what? Next week you can get some compassion. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The mercies of God. And one day, if we keep faithful to him, the greatest of all new beginnings will occur. Because Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 to 4 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God, and God will be with them and be their God. And what will he do? I will wipe all tears from, you're not tired of crying, people. I will wipe all tears from your eye. My money can't do that. My house can't do that. My things can't wipe tears from my eye. But Jesus will. Jesus can. I will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, but in a tired of death. They just shot Dr. French's brother recently this week. I mean, you're not tired of this death. Neither no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall there be no more pain, Jesus. For the former things are passed away. The former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new.